That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 153 of That Great Business Show, where we bring you more great tips, insights, and unique business opportunities on every episode, all perfectly packaged into a commute-friendly podcast, with thanks to Dundeal.ie. I'm Conal O'Mora in Fáilte, and as we do, we're doing something different again on this episode as we bring you insights into a new program aimed at startups backed by Maxol, the Irish family-owned fuel company. We'll also be asking them whether it's the right time to buy electric, diesel, petrol, or hydrogen, yep, hydrogen-powered cars, or more likely hydrogen-powered lorries or vans. Lots of you have contacted us on thatgreatbusinessshow.com following on from episode 152, asking for more info about doing business in the Arab states that Enda Corneal was keen to highlight. And we also had some wise money onto us asking for more information about Oriel Marine Extracts, who told us they were funding. Do listen back to episode 152 for more, because that is That Great Business Show, home of Team GBS, where we play for you. If we can be of help to your business, big or small, do get in touch. We want to hear all about you. And all our tips and insights are brought to you thanks to Dundeal Motors, the place to look for your new or previously loved car, van or truck. Dundeal.ie.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit Dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
Now, back on episode 77 of That Great Business Show, we were joined by Maxol Group CEO, Brian Donaldson, who told us many trade secrets of the forecourt business, and he made some predictions about what he thought the future of what we still know as petrol stations would or might look like. We've asked Brian to join us again on this episode because Maxol has announced the winners of their first Homegrown at Maxol program. This is an initiative like SuperValu's Food Academy that gives local producers a chance to star in up to 70 Maxol stores in the Republic of Ireland, as well as invaluable mentorship along with PR and marketing support. And we've chosen two of those winners to talk to us about their businesses, and they are Keith Loftus, co-founder of All About Kombucha, and Joe Davey, founder of Absolute Nutrition. We'll be talking to them in a second, but first let me talk to Brian Donaldson. And great to have you back, Brian.
Thanks, Conal.
I almost tripped over your name there, didn't I?
Oh, you did well.
Brian Donaldson, much easier to say the second time around. Last time you were on with us, you were talking about the possibility, probability of us going electric and what that meant for you. And by you, I mean for Maxol. And Maxol is nationwide across 32 counties in Ireland. And you have put in EV chargers. What have you learned from them?
Well, look, it's an interesting, like the last time we spoke, it was about 18 months ago. And a lot has happened and changed since then. Really what you're seeing is certainly a move in new car sales to electric vehicles. I think at the moment this year, it's sitting about 18% of new car sales. And that is starting to flow into the need for charging infrastructure. And as like we're a family-owned business, we're fourth generation, our view is about making and meeting the needs of the evolving needs of our customers. And last December, we opened the first ultra rapid EV hub in Northern Ireland. In fact, it was the first in all Ireland. And from that, we've learned a lot. So your question, what have we learned? Whether you have a driveway at home or whether you don't, people want fast charging. And if you're going to charge at home, that's fine if you have lots of time. But if you want to go somewhere, people want a rapid charge. And what we have learned is people much prefer to use a 200 kilowatt charger.
Which will charge in what kind of time?
It will put 80% charge into your battery within about 15, 16 minutes. So that's about as much time as people really want to spend. But the interesting thing in this, Colonel, is that it's about speed of charge. That suits us because we can sell it to you as fast as we can. We can sell to a lot more customers and turn over the use of that car parking space. But equally, what we have learned is that it's just not about the speed of charge. It's the other services that you have on your site. The reason why we picked Hollywood or Kinnaker in Hollywood was we just opened a brand new Eurospar.
This is Hollywood County Down, not Hollywood in the Hollywood Hills.
Unfortunately not. It's in County Down, just on the East Coast. It's just about 3 miles outside of Belfast if you're heading down into Bangor direction. Super location. And it's been a tremendous success from the point of view that we've really started to understand the needs of the EV early adopters. It's about speed of charge. It's reliability of the equipment. It's making sure that people can tap and go on their debit or credit card. You can now use that facility if you're a Maxwell Fuel Card customer for our business users. And at this moment in time, despite there only being less than 12, 13,000 battery electric vehicles in Northern Ireland, we're serving 25 to 26 customers a day. So that's pretty good.
That is at the moment. And we all assume that we're going to be more electric and electric and electric. Or is that it? Because the other day I was chatting to a lady called Grit Young, and she was talking to me about green hydrogen, and green hydrogen may be going into lorries. And where does that suddenly leave Maxwell with a big hole to dig to put green hydrogen into? Is that it? Or what do you do?
I think hydrogen is probably about 12 to 14 years behind in terms of technology and how you can produce that, you know, for mobility and road transport. Certainly, you know, hydrogen is really going to be the fuel, I think, that will be developed for aviation, for heavy freight such as shipping, such as trains, and also for HGVs. But our view is that when you look at the actual market in the Republic of Ireland, Conal, there's 2.2 million internal combustion engine vehicles. The average age of those cars is 9 point something years.
Isn't it funny what goes around in your head, isn't it?
But the interesting thing is the focus in the press is all about the percentage and the rapid growth and EVs. But look, as we know, percentages don't really tell you the truth, because coming from a low base, you're always going to get a high percentage. 85% of new cars are still internal combustion engine, whether those are a hybrid or a plug-in hybrid. But the interesting figure for us as a family business is that petrol cars are still holding the lion's share of new car sales. Diesel has dropped back on fear of Dieselgate and all of the things that came out of that. So look, in terms of liquid fuels, the future is all about advanced liquid fuels. It's about the biofuel element. And, you know, we'll soon be bringing to market hydrotreated vegetable oil, which again is for the business user. It's really recycled waste chip fat oil, and it doesn't come from the food chain, so you're getting the right message out there. But it is expensive at this early stage. But certainly before the end of this year, we'll be introducing that into a range of service stations. But also for those customers, particularly state or semi-state bodies, who really want to be turning over to more environmentally friendly fuels. So it doesn't have to be electric, doesn't have to be hydrogen. There's a massive role still for liquid fuels to play in this transition to net zero by 2050.
And I presume more than any that you keep such a close eye on the future, and that's why you're here, is that do you know that in, say, another 18 months when you come back again to us, that you'll be saying that your chargers charge in 2 minutes or 3 minutes, which again presumably changes your model, because we will be talking to those people who are with me in studio here who are trying to sell their goods in store with you. But if there's only 2 or 3 minutes of charging, I'll be plugged in and then gone again.
I think, to be quite honest, like it's going to be well outside of my life expectancy if you're going to get to be able to charge your vehicle in 2 to 3 minutes. But honestly, look, the dwell time is the opportunity for us to sell more. And that's why we're investing very heavily within our food service and our convenience business. You know, and it's super to have Joe and Keith here today to talk about all of their wonderful products as well.
Okay, I give in. Let's go and have a chat with them. You're very good. Hey, just if the McMullen family didn't hear, I think two or three times so far you've mentioned family-owned business, just to make sure that's a big tick there. Joe Davey, welcome to That Great Business Show. You are Absolute Nutrition.
Yes.
Tell me all about it and what winning one of six prizes, not... You didn't win all six prizes.
No.
You won one of the six prizes that you won. What has that meant for you?
Well, basically as a business, it's a huge elevation for us. I mean, being in Maxwell, it's a lot of stores and sites that we weren't in before. I mean, one of the main problems with business and food manufacturing and brands is logistics, distribution. So Maxwell are giving us an absolutely fantastic platform to work from, as well as all the...
Pretend for a second Brian isn't here. Tell us, what is it really like? Now, your business, what you're making is, you're making what are called, are they called energy balls? Or
yeah, we specialise in protein and energy balls.
Lovely.
So snack,
I haven't eaten them yet.
Yeah, well, there's some there to try, but there's a flavour for every day of the week are all different flavours.
And how did you come up with that?
I suppose personally for me, it was convenience and quality and, you know, wanting something nice at the end of the day, but something really good. I had four babies at the time. I worked in the HSE. Never in my wildest dreams did I imagine I'd open a food manufacturing site or a brand. It's just I had no business background, no background in food. I worked, you know, in mental health. But being healthy and conscious of that all the time was in my head, and I loved food. So I just saw that there was nothing available here. And then through digging, I suppose I'm a bit nosy, so doing a bit of research led me to this and then this and then this. Eventually I was in Super Value stores and other accounts across the country, and it just blew up for us. So took my husband.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a fabulous way. The ball literally started rolling for us. My husband joined me then after about a year and a half. And now fast forward to today, we've got 10 people working with us and we've our
that
own.
Is fantastic.
Yeah. It's super and mad, surreal. I don't know how it happens. When people say, how did it all happen? I'm like, I don't really know.
And thanks to Maxwell, you also now have a mentor.
Yes, Ronan.
What's that like? And what do you get out of that mentorship?
Well, obviously the experience that our mentor, Ronan McDermott, out in Dolphins Barn, the experience he has being in the Maxwell side, it's a different kind of market for us that we hadn't been in before.
What is the difference?
It's a fast moving market. You know, people are going in, they're not going in with a trolley to do a big shop. So it's we are luckily a very impulsive buy. We're an excellent addition to a tier of coffee. So if you're on the road, on the go. So it was brilliant to get the feel of how it works in store. Ronan gave us a tour. He talks about customers and stuff, challenges, benefits, how to do it. He's just brilliant. And the weird story is I had mentioned to you earlier that Maxwell was a pit stop for me and my husband when we were going to the Coombe for four children over the years. And now going in, seeing our product in there and chatting with Maxwell or with Ronan on a different level is just, it's brilliant. He's really excited for us as well. He thinks it's great. So he's very encouraging. The motivation and encouragement from Ronan is brilliant. And with other Maxwell owners as well, we'd worked with a few of them already in the past.
The problem about growth, and it's a good problem, is having to supply it.
Yes.
And we were chatting on episode 152 that if you're supplying into the Arab states, is when you get the order, they expect you to deliver the order, be that a million units or something overnight.
Yeah.
When you started working with Maxwell, and I know you've been in others as well, how do you ramp up? What do you do? Do you start kind
First
of
all,
crying?
Panic.
Or
yeah. Yeah. I go into a major panic mode for about 48 hours. James, my husband and partner, calms that down. We laugh. I'm the creative, you know, one in the group, and he's the one who is the more sensible paperwork head. But I mean, every opportunity is going to be a bit of a challenge, but obviously we'll jump at it. And
what do you do? I mean, do you sit down and say, look, we can produce 20,000 units an hour or whatever it is?
Yeah, we know
but
our
we now
own
need 25,000.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the great benefit of having your own manufacturing is that you can control that. I don't need to depend on anyone else to control my manufacturing. We're easily able to scale up. We've learned so much in the last 8-9 years. All of our suppliers are really good. If we contact them and say, oh, we need so much packaging, we need this and that, they're all excellent. But probably the first thing I did after the meltdown was put up an ad for an extra staff member in the bakery. So that was really good, positive growth. And that's all come to fruition now. and being out on the road and seeing your stock out there. And we've got so many messages from people across the country who hadn't been able to source us, who are now sending us pictures and selfies. And we were coming home through Monaghan on Monday, and we went in to Maxall Monaghan Town, met Vincent in there, and he said it's going really well and positive, so it's great.
You've got Maxall in there about 25 times so far. That's not bad.
Brian, I'm getting like 100 euro every time I mention Maxall.
You mentioned that you are hiring. Everybody tells me that it is extremely hard still, despite everything, to find the right people.
It is really, really challenging. We have a great core team that we've had for a couple of years, but trying to add on to that now at this stage is very, very challenging. There is a turnover in manufacturing of staff. We try and grow the staff that we have into different positions, but I mean, it's an employee's market, so it's very difficult to get anyone in. Even to show up for an interview can sometimes be a challenge, but I think it's one that everyone's facing at the moment.
It seems to be. So what secrets have you got? How are you managing?
We do offer a lot of free balls to people who work for us, free snacks. I think just to really be busy and showing that you're grown and you're established and that you're, you know, secure and a secure employer, that's a great advantage to have. And just people who come for interview actually follow us on social media and they know the company and know the brand. So that helps.
How do you know that they follow you on social media? They tell you, or do you know beforehand?
They tell me, yeah. I do ask them a few questions. Tell me what you know about Absolute Nutrition. I know. They say they do. I trust them.
Okay, well, you have to have trust. This is an opportunity to bring in Keith Loftus, who is co-founder with Emmett Kerrigan, who we had on before.
You did indeed.
And Keith is co-founder of Kombucha. What is the correct name for the company?
All About Kombucha.
All About Kombucha. And why is it called All About Kombucha?
Well, we went through a lot of names at the start. We had Honest Kombucha, which a lot of people got mixed up with Innocent Smoothies. Where it was, and everyone's nodding their heads in the room, yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm
yes,
thinking,
you are.
I'm wondering, how can you confuse honest with innocent? Different word.
Honestly
different
innocent,
spelling.
Innocently innocent, or maybe it's just like a term that needs to be coined for
the and two. Isn't Innocent owned by Coca-Cola?
Oh, yeah, they are indeed.
I presume that they sent you a letter, did they?
No, they didn't, but I remember watching a documentary. They were a very eccentric group. They've got offices that look like playground. They've got AstroTurf everywhere. They seemed hyper-eccentric, but then maybe it caught up with them and Coca-Cola were there waiting.
A long time ago when I was with Today FM, the Innocent Founders on with me, and they were cool dudes at that stage, they had a little cookbook or something like that, and they said they'd never sell out. And guess what? They sold out. And I'd say they're probably sitting in the Bahamas or somewhere nice in the sunshine at the moment. And
Innocent
as ever. Back to All About Kombucha. So what, again, because we're here to talk about the Maxall program, what has been good for you about the Maxall program?
Well, the day out at the K-Club was a great start, to be honest. Have a lot to thank Maxall for that one.
The K-Club is where you were adjudged, is that correct?
Judged, yes, exactly. Yeah. Judged, scrutinized, some would say. But yes, that was the big day out. And this being Maxall's first, I suppose, competition to bring in smaller producers, went off without a hitch. Not many events like that run as smoothly as it did. So we were impressed with the onset.
Wait a second now, this is not the Maxall show.
I thought it was.
This is about you and about your business. So tell us the good things about your business.
With Maxall.
With or without Maxall.
So this opportunity has been very good for us because it's been another extension of our brand. In the last year, we built our own brewery. We're out in Clare, Galway. It's about 6,500 square foot. So I suppose luck somewhat favours the brave at the best of times. And this was an opportunity that we really needed, to be totally honest.
Why?
Well, the food sector is a tough area to establish yourself, and sometimes growth can be a bit of a delayed time factor when it comes to money in the bank. And in order to expand, you need to have money in the bank, and without a contract, the bank won't put money in your bank. So there needs to be a couple of lucky strokes to go your way. So having something like this, yes.
Now
ask me a question.
We're talking meat, and I'm going to hold you there because we're going to take a quick break, because everybody listening is now going to say, hang on now, what's he going to say? Because
won't be Maxall.
Everybody in business shares that pain.
a bit over trading and a bit just, you know, invoicing and people not paying and a lot of things like that. You hold that thought and we'll take a quick break.
That Great Business Show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
All that Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
And I am here with Keith Loftus, who is co-founder of All About Kombucha, with Joe Davey of Absolute Nutrition, and with Brian Donaldson, CEO of the Maxol Group. Let us go straight back to what we were talking about, All About Kombucha. Keith Loftus, you were just about to say about why it was so timely that you won this award.
Yes, it was. It was. Myself and Emmett have been in business for the last 6 years, and we've got a small team of seven. It's self-owned. Our team is small. It's close. Our families are involved. So when we win, everyone wins. And you can't imagine how much of a boost that is for the morale of everyone involved. And it really does, excuse the pun now, put fuel in your tank to continue to like drive on and keep the vision crystallized, keep the vision clear. There was a huge amount of networking opportunities that arose from this last few months, which has been invaluable to us.
Before that, you were just about to tell us about the issues that you had faced and that this came timely. What were those issues?
Okay, so to give you a quick summarize, we moved from our previous unit and we wanted to go from glass bottles to cans. First point being that glass is clunky, it breaks, it's non-recyclable, the carbon footprint is through the roof. A lot of it is being shipped over from either Turkey or China, which is kind of a lot of people's notions to think that glass is the best for the environment. However, aluminium is 100% recyclable and it's recyclable infinitely, whereas plastic begins to lose its shape after 3 to 7 recycles. So this was a huge point for us and we were gung-ho set on getting this canner in. Our previous unit couldn't fit the canner, so we made the leap before we'd any main contracts in the bank. The bank weren't really playing ball. They were giving us pretty much enough money to get to Athlone and we needed to get to Dublin. So we threw the dice, we got snake eyes and we weren't sure what to do. So we said, you know what, we're going to do it. And we went for it. And we begged, we borrowed and we stole. And we pushed it with all our heart's content. And we built that brewery in about 6 months from the bottom up. Emmett rolled up the sleeves in the height of winter, himself and Jinxie, one of our friends, and they spoke Irish the whole thing. The two boys spoke Irish, building the whole brewery. They were coming back. Oh, I wasn't sure if they'd lost their minds or what, but they really just, their work was insane, what they did. And then that allowed us as a platform to move our business from, which was essentially like a bomb shelter below a Super Value out in Mike Cullen, where we're now we actually had lights and we put shipping containers in and we spray painted them and they're tiered. So our office is like an open plan. Huge windows. We've got a disco ball up there. We've got to kit it out with LED lights. You know,
very important for business, the disco ball.
Very important. Yeah, exactly.
You also, because I've just read it, hand canned your product. How do you hand can a product?
Well, how do you hand can a product? With your hands, firstly, I suppose.
Do you not have a machine that goes?
We do now. We do now. We do now. But before this recent edition in the last 2 weeks, we didn't. A lot of it was actual hand canning and hand seaming.
Must be the slowest thing in the world, is it?
It was heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. But now it's all systems go. So we've almost 10x what we can do in one day from before to what we can do now. And it also offers more variety within the workplace for people that are working on the line that they can do other jobs. So it's not as, you know, it doesn't wear them down as much.
And you said Athlone, and sorry, I'll come back to you in a second. Just you said Athlone, then Dublin. for both of you, I suppose, the vision must be beyond the island.
Absolutely, and we're at that next stage now where we need to go into export and want to go into export. We have a highly exportable product.
How do you start? Where do you start?
Well, I suppose there's supports out there. Enterprise Ireland are great, Board BS, so linking in with them, getting mentorship from them, and then speaking to your peers, speaking to people who are already exporting food. There's a great community in Ireland. People help each other all the time. We get people messaging us. We're starting off. How do we do it? That was what I was going to say. The beauty of manufacturing, you know, it's all by hand when you're starting off. You're doing everything manually. And then the joy of getting a machine that can actually do something for you and take some of the labour out of that is a win for everyone, like Keith said.
It's true love.
It is, yeah.
Where are you both going to export to initially? Like, literally the world is your oyster, but you have to choose a place.
Absolutely.
Jo, where would you start?
Europe, I mean, Germany.
UK, no, you're not going to go to UK first?
To be honest, now it's slightly different.
What's changed to Brexit?
Just the paperwork, the work involved, the duties. There was so much information overload about Brexit when it came out, and you're so busy producing and manufacturing. I didn't really sit down and study it. I just thought I'll have to park that. And, you know, there are easier options right now. Not that I would discount the UK. It's obviously an excellent market. But Germany, places where people here now are much more educated about food, nutrition. There's so many USPs, like Brian was saying earlier, there's so many things they have to think about. And meat, it's the same with food. People expect it to be gluten-free now. Your snacks are expected to be high quality, very nutritious, but most of all, have that taste at the end.
Keith, overseas, will you do it? Can you do it? I mean, you have a heavy item. At least, Joe, your item is light-ish.
50 grams, yeah.
Yeah. But you have heavy, and I won't say it's low value, but it's not high value.
And we also face our most unique selling point of our product is that it's live. So we don't pasteurize it, we don't filter it. A lot of commercial kombucha companies do for ease of export and for ease of logistics. But as we've found out that we've taken the route less traveled by keeping our product live. So it needs to be continually on chilled chain distribution. So that then creates a whole host of issues then when you look to go further afield with our products. So in order to kind of stick by our values and our morals, we're going to keep our kombucha alive and living, go for the gut, go for the head. That's the way that it's meant to be, in my opinion. So don't change it. And we will look to bring out an additional...
Aha, I was going to ask you.
Yes, there's an extension to... There's an extension coming.
Okay.
There's an extension coming.
So that you might have a not-so-live version of the kombucha.
No, it won't be a kombucha.
Okay.
Yeah, it won't be a kombucha.
You heard it here first. What are you going to do?
I won't tell you much, but I will tell you this. There will be a better-for-you type alcohol soon to come to the market.
Okay.
Well, yes.
That's always a good thing. Now, Brian, you, because we discussed this before coming on air, told me that this is into 70 of your stores in the Republic. Why not into NI?
Again, we decided this is our inaugural sort of launch in terms of Homegrown at Maxwell. And really just in terms of our partners in the Republic, we work very closely with BWG Foods. And they're working very closely with Joe and Keith in terms of supply distribution chain into our stores.
Aha, because you obviously do not distribute yourselves.
No.
Okay.
So what we wanted to do is make sure that we get the model right. And it was a small step first. You know, the campaign has worked extremely well. And when you hear the stories from Joe and Keith,
I love them.
Like, we started from humble beginnings as well. So like, it's great to give something back.
102 years ago, do say.
Absolutely. I've got 102 myself. But it's great to hear these stories. And to be quite honest, it's the passion when, you know, you can feel the energy in the room here. And that's what really excites us as a business, because someone who's got passion in their business is going to continue to be very successful. And it also cements very well with our kind of model. We don't directly operate any of our service stations on the island of Ireland. We partner with really smart people, independent retailers who have a heart and soul to do the best for their communities. And it's great to hear the stories there in terms of Ronan, in terms of the support that he's giving you through his experience.
Because anybody who needs or should know about the whole Maxwell concept should go back to, as I mentioned at the very beginning, episode 77, where you made it very clear that you kind of want to be seen as your local food store, that drop-in, and having fueling is only a part of the experience.
Yeah, our business is changing quite dramatically through regulation and with climate change. So we have to constantly reinvent ourselves, and it's like an oil tanker. It doesn't move very quickly. It's small steps at a time. And homegrown at Maxwell, again, is just changing the perception of what consumers see of us. We are coming out with a new TV campaign, our first in 7 years. Doesn't talk about anything to do with fuel. Wow. It's very different because we've invested very heavily within our real estate. We've got some of the best locations. We've got the best facilities with the best retailers, with good suppliers. And what we're really trying to do is to make our stores destinations. But we want to do the right thing. We only operate and trade within Ireland, and it's interesting in your comments to Joe and Keith about where you want to export to. We haven't cracked the Irish market yet. That's why we haven't gone offshore. And we've still lots to do, and we've still lots of value that we can bring, not just to our customers. And thankfully, our customer base is growing, Conal, which means we're getting something right. But our customer base is growing because we're working with the likes of people like Joe and Keith, who are bringing in these innovative products that today's consumers want.
Let me go off piste a little bit with you, because I do know that you live in Northern Ireland and you work down here. So you know more than any what I think should be Northern Ireland's future, which should be El Dorado, because it answers all of the problems that Joe mentioned, which is all the paperwork. We are allowed to export and import directly. And it's like, I can't understand. It's just sitting there. There's 1.5 million people up there waiting to be serviced. And equally, we happily take their stuff as well. But why did you not put these guys into Northern Ireland?
It's down the supply chain. You know, we have to make it as simple and as cost effective from our suppliers to get their products into our stores. We have a different supplier in Northern Ireland, another family business, very successful, the Henderson Group, which is owned by the Agnew family. And next year, we'll be launching Homegrown 2, and we'll be doing it on an all-Ireland basis. That's where we'll be looking at extending that reach.
And just before I go to Keith, Northern Ireland is sitting there waiting to be the El Dorado. It's got every benefit that I can think of.
Yeah. And the big thing in Northern Ireland, Conal, and I'm going to do a punch here, one of the big things that holds our business back in the Republic of Ireland is this rule in terms of the retail planning guidelines of restricting retail to 100 square meters. Northern Ireland, we don't have that restriction. We're able to move and adapt and increase the size of our retail footprint. Whereas in the Republic of Ireland, it's very challenging and it's very complex.
And is that a competitive issue, as in have your competitors stymied you? Is that what they're really up to? They're stopping you from growing?
No, not at all. It dates back to when that legislation was brought in 1998. The market was very different then to it is today. So it's no longer fit for purpose. And I think even government realizes that. But we've got to pivot. We've got to move quickly. And it's one of the big things we're calling on government to do now. You've got to lift that block. You know, we are moving in an industry where we've got to sell less hydrocarbons. We've got to sell more environmentally friendly fuels. And we've got to provide electric chargers.
And more kombucha and energy balls. Keith, you wanted to come in there.
I did. Yeah, I did. I just wanted to say as well that I think we need to like pay a bit of respect as well to our delis in Ireland, because Ireland's not necessarily known, it is known for now for its kind of finer cuisine, but as far as history tells us, you know, we kind of fell off the Richter scale there during the famine and we got decimated. We lost everything. So as far as my generation knows and the generation before, like I'm 29, the breakfast roll and the chicken fillet roll are some of Ireland's finest cuisines, you know? And like, that's being serious. People, like, we went to a festival where I was organizing my friend's hen at the start of June. And her partner is from the Isle of Wight. So she brought over a lot of her friends from the UK. And they lost their marbles when they got a breakfast roll. They honestly couldn't believe what they were witnessing. And then when I started speaking about a chicken fillet roll, they were just like, where is this in the UK? And I was like, where is it in the UK? How are we so close and they don't even have that side of the market developed yet? But when we did an event with Maxall a few weeks ago, we were talking about the market is changing, the delis are changing, the stations are changing, consumers' demands and trends and behaviours are changing. So what you're seeing now is, if you don't see food as fuel, watch that documentary, Supersize Me. see what happens to that man.
I've seen it.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It took him years to recover from that. Yeah. He had some serious mental health issues after that.
I think he had them beforehand as well to have wanted to do that. Go back, but you've just identified a business opportunity. Why isn't it all about chicken rolls? Not all about kombucha.
To be honest, we had an avocado themed food stall a few years ago and we were eyeing that up big time, but we had to bring ourselves back to why we got into it and we were all about kombucha. So we had to do away with that. But what I was saying was about the food and the fuel. Like our products, mine and Joe's products, it's good fuel. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's fuel now that you've got longevity on, that you feel good about putting into your body. Same as that, you know, with all your with all the advancements now coming into the hydrogen fuels and a lot of other terms now that I can't recite, but you know, you go over to Asia per se and you see what they put into their motorbikes over there and breakfast rolls, but it's the same thing as like if you pick up like, I don't know, a generic piece of chocolate, or if you're drinking like tons of cans of Cokes, yeah, you might save yourself a few cents there and then, but eventually the machine will break down, and when you have to get that serviced, you best believe it's going to cost you a pretty penny.
You are an evangelist, aren't you? Deep down, I think you should have a little collar on you.
Thank you very much.
Our two brands go so well together. Like, it's a perfect combination. So it's a, because there were not, 2014, 2015, when I started off this business, there you would walk into a shop or a cafe, and if anyone saw a protein or energy ball or a can of kombucha, they'd be like, what the hell is this? Like, now if you walk into a retail or a shop or a garage and you don't see an offering of protein balls or a kombucha or something alternative, you're thinking these people are a bit, you know, stuck in the ages. They need to, have to have options, I think, for people.
We got back to 1845 here with the famine a few seconds ago.
Come a long way from the potatoes.
Before we get on to the final question, I'm going to ask both of you for, is there anything the Team GBS, our listeners, can do for you on the nutrition ball side?
I think just if people are in and they're in the Maxwell or anywhere they see myself and Keith's kombucha, just to give it a try.
Not your kombucha, you're the energy balls.
My balls, Keith's kombucha.
I beg your pardon,
If they see it, just give it a try. Yeah, support the local products in stores. And if you want to tag us or let us know what you think of them, that would be absolutely super. But try something different. Try a different flavour. If you like the same one all the time, try something new.
What sells brilliantly and what doesn't sell?
All of my balls sell really well, but the chocolate protein ball, our original ball, 8 years on, is still our best seller. And people want healthy, they do, and it's a great bonus, but it's taste at the end of the day. So if you have taste as well, you'll get repeat custom. So it's important.
Keith, are you going to recommend Absolute Nutrition energy balls?
Yeah, health needs to taste good now. That's the age that we're living in. If it doesn't taste good, take it out. You know, the days of kind of danky spirulina concoctions.
For the sake of it being
healthy.
For
the sake of it, yeah. Holding your nose and wincing as it goes down. No. Health tastes good now. I'd ask your listeners if they are interested in learning any more about our products, or if they know of any good cafes or restaurants that they'd like to see us in, do please reach out, because that's what really helps a small business. You've no idea what it does to the dopamine circuits when you see that email pop in saying, hey, heard about this through here, through the grapevine, through whoever. I would love to stock you guys. That really does lift the spirits of the team. So I'd ask for anyone, if you have a taste for fine foods, please do pass on some recommendations. And also for anyone that works in any of the big tech companies, we've got a booch bar that we hire out for hire. So it's a zero waste kombucha style bar that we bring into corporates for different types of events. And we serve live drinks, live music being the kombucha. It's a non-alcoholic style event, whereas we make mocktails using all fresh Irish garnishes. Now, if you want something a little bit more saucy, we can always put a little bit of alcohol in that too. But Emmett, my co-founder, he is a DJ now as well. So he plays a full live set depending on what the type of the party is. So
Keith, I can't
Christmas
compete with that. I can't compete with that, but we do have a horse box that we bring out to events as well. So there's not music.
We'll team up.
They're brilliant, aren't they, Brian?
Super.
I love these two. You are most welcome to come back another time. But before that, Joe Davey, please tell me who you would hire in a heartbeat.
Oh my God, well, after the last couple of weeks, definitely Carla Rowe, the Ladies Dublin GAA. What a leader. Someone who's hard work. Or Hannah Tyrrell. those two people, and they can handle a ball. So, I mean, that's very important.
Oh,
if they can get in here.
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
She'll charge you quite an amount of money now to back her.
Hopefully not. If anyone from the ladies' GA is listening, we're hiring at the moment. It's info@absolutenutrition.ie. So they'd be more than welcome into the team.
Why not? Keith, who would you hire in a heartbeat?
My first option is Edward Bernays. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him.
No.
He's the godfather of propaganda.
Is he? Didn't manufacture Bernays sauce, no?
No, he's not. Well, he probably has something to do with it. He was actually the nephew of Sigmund Freud.
Okay.
Yeah. So he moved over from Europe just after, I think it was during actually World War II. And the term propaganda didn't suit the masses, so it came to be PR, public relations. So he's the man behind that. He's got some very interesting, extremely clever projects that he's done. One being the Freedom Sticks. So what they found was that it was mostly men that smoked cigarettes in the US. And the big cigarette companies wanted to know why this was. So he conducted a form of different research groups. And the cigarette, what they found was a representation of a man's hoo-ha. So what they did was...
It's a technical term,
yeah.
It's
a PG radio term. So what they decided to do was then there was a strong movement towards female rights were really kind of beginning to gather a lot of momentum then. So he then coined a cigarette to be a freedom stick, and he employed a host of different models in New York to all band together and walk down one of the iconic streets there and all light up cigarettes together. And then as he had relationships with some of the papers, so it was the term freedom stick was coined. So then all across America, women then began to smoke cigarettes as a representation.
Boo, hiss, hiss, we say to him. He's not going to go anywhere.
He's not, no, but nothing sinister. I just like to know how his mind worked. Uh-huh. And Andy Farrell was then the next person that I would have said.
Okay.
I would just love to know how many cans of kombucha you drink every day, because your mind is on fire as well.
I agree with you, Joe. There's something going on in there.
Or it was the energy balls I handed out before
this. The other guy who has a mind just like that is Paul Galvin, the ex-GA player who is designs the clothes and all. He was on, I can't remember what episode, go back and listen to it. He's just somewhere else and I love it. Brian, final question to you. Who would Brian Donaldson hire in a heartbeat?
It's a great question. Like when you're sitting in a room like this, like there's two people here I probably would hire, but they're entrepreneurs, they're running their own business. I've tried to think about this in terms of who could really make a big difference to our business, because it's at a pivotal point with all of this disruption and change and so forth. So it's someone who's got experience. It's someone within the business world. It's someone who has already mentored a lot. He's a big TV name, big personality. He wouldn't always be my cup of tea. I think we'd probably argue quite a bit. Alan Sugar is probably someone who I would bring in because I think he would tell you as it is. I don't think he would listen to someone who was waffling. I think he would be very results driven, but I think because he's been in so many industries, that wealth of experience could be absolutely
critical.
I'm
always curious about how successful he ever was. He was Amstrad, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Did he ever, beyond that? I can never tell.
He owned Spurs for a while. He was the majority shareholder of Spurs.
Yeah. Did they win anything?
Much.
I think he's got a multitude of different
investments. Yeah, he owns the Pickle. You know that big, fine-looking building there in the middle of, is it London?
London.
Is it London?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's written in many books.
The Gherkin.
They call it the Gherkin. The Gherkin, yeah.
Is he on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not short of pounds.
He's not.
And he likes cycling.
Okay. On that note, please, all of you, come back again when we have Maxol 2 next year, when it'll be the All-Ireland, All-Island Maxol 2 event. And I'd love to hear great stories.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Defacto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. DeFacto's blend of all-natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. DeFacto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from DeFactoShave.com.
It's all go, let Chrissy know on ThatGreatBusinessShow.com.
That Great Business Show.
That is it from That Great Business Show, episode 153. Great business insights and inspiration, all thanks to our sponsor, DoneDeal.ie. And you can kick some tires online at DoneDeal.ie to see what your next car could look like. Sign up for email updates and we'll send you your own personal copy of the podcast. The address is thatgreatbusinessshow.com. And that is where you can go as well if you would like to advertise with us. We record at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where sound engineer Mark McCarthy was pumping our gas. Did I get it? Pumping? Oh, okay. And later, studio manager Peter Vroom Vroom Rice will tweak our carbs to ensure we remain the world's best-sounding business podcast. And if you would like to record your own podcast, Peter is the man to chat to. So for me, Conal O'Moran, buíochas to you all. Agus slán tamall.